97.5, The Fanatic.
And welcome to 97.5, The Fanatic. Rob Motti here with you on this beautiful Saturday night. Dylan McKinnon here producing the show, taking your calls at 610-632-0975. I heard Joe Stazak and D-Line talk a lot of Phillies and then some Eagles, and of course we're going to have conversations about both, but I got to start, absolutely got to start with the Philadelphia Phillies. So, John Middleton made it clear yesterday at his news conference. It was really John Middleton's news conference. Matt Klintak was there. Andy McPhail was there. But this was John Middleton's news conference. And he made it clear. He calls the shots. He runs the show when it comes down to important decisions. John Middleton, he is the CEO, the managing partner. He called himself the CEO maybe 5-6 times. The Phillies call him the managing partner in the press releases. He calls the shots, unless, of course, it's a $2 million relief pitcher. He doesn't want anything to do with it. But when it comes to important decisions, John Middleton makes the call. It was an awkward news conference. I felt uncomfortable for Matt Klintak and Andy McPhail. And here's the bottom line. The reason those two were up there with John Middleton is because they got contract extensions through 2021 and 2022. That's why they were up there. That answers that question. It's that simple. John Middleton's not going to say that, but it's bad business to give guys contract extensions and remove them. And I feel John Middleton is an owner, a CEO, who absolutely takes into account what the fans and public perception is. And that's why I had the first question at the news conference, and I wanted to know how much of a factor was it, the public opinion, the public perception. And he acknowledged he considers it. He also said, which I thought was telling a little bit, that when he was out on the street and in the stadium and people come up to him, and he said it was as many, if not equal, people wanted him to keep Gabe as they wanted him to fire Gabe. That was interesting. But I know that the overwhelming majority, having done radio shows for countless hours since Gabe's arrival in Philadelphia, and being there, being around, I know the overwhelming majority wanted Gabe Kapler dismissed, fired. So you got what you wanted. And I know that the news conference came off as a CEO, an owner who oversteps his boundaries. When he's calling the shots and then telling you he's not a potted plant sitting in a corner, there was instantly, and I got this on my feed, I got this from other people, I walked out with the Shredder, Tom Shredinshek, and Kristen Rogers from Channel 29, and she was telling me, Kristen said, people are comparing John Middleton to Dan Snyder on her timeline instantly, because she was tweeting throughout the news conference, and then I looked at mine, and I get messages to Dan Snyder, Jerry Jones. I don't think John Middleton is anything close to Dan Snyder or meddling like Jerry Jones. He wants to have the input in the big decisions when he feels the fan base wants something differently than what his front office is telling him. He's the reason why Bryce Harper is here. He's the reason why Charlie Manuel was the hitting coach. And he's the reason why Gabe Kapler was fired. Those, to him, are big decisions that he wants input on. And those are all big decisions that fall along the lines of what the fan base, the populace, the general consensus wants. Now, of course, a lot of people also wanted to see McPhail and Klintak gone. And I know Tony's hanging on. He wants to talk about that, and I'll get to you in a second, Tony, I promise. But he wasn't going to do that because it's bad business. And what I see in John Middleton is a man who clearly understands business. He would not be in a position that he's in, as he reminded us several times. He is a billionaire for a reason. He knows how to run a business. And his decision to give Bryce Harper $330 million was probably 90% of the reason why the Phillies' attendance increased 570,000 fans this year, the largest leap in Major League Baseball. That's good business. Is it good baseball? The Washington Nationals have a 2-game-to-none lead in the NLCS, having won on the road in St. Louis 2 games, and they don't have Bryce Harper. Could the Phillies, as I said countless times on shows leading up to the decision to bring Bryce Harper to Philly, perhaps had fielded a better team in 2019 had they allotted Bryce's $25 million in various ways? Mike Moustakas got $10 million. Nick Markakis got $6 million. Keuchel got $13 million. Add those three up, that's $29 million for just one season, where you're not locked in for 13 years. Would the Phillies have been a better team this year if they had Mike Moustakas at third base? Nick Markakis, I know he got hurt playing right field, and Dallas Keuchel in the starting rotation. I can't find anyone who would argue otherwise. Now, of course, you could say they still could have added those players and Bryce Harper. Yes, that's true. They didn't go that route. So I want to ask you, because I've heard the outrage, and I've heard it from all corners, from media, from the people on the radio hosting, from those calling. And I want to ask you this. Do you want a team owner, a CEO, the guy who's calling the shots? Do you want a guy who listens to you, the fan base, or a guy who listens to his front office? Because in John Middleton, you have a guy who listens more to you than he does his front office. Because if he listened to his front office, Gabe would still be here. If he listened to his front office, Bryce would not. John Maley would probably still be here. But he listens more to the fans than he does the guys that he paid to put in those positions to make those tough decisions. And I know people love John Middleton when he came out and said, I want to bring that bleeping trophy back to Philadelphia. Everybody was in love with him. And he made the comment about stupid money, and everybody loved him. And there were the comparisons to a George Steinbrenner, but not as crazy, and he won't be outbid for anybody, and he wasn't. But people have turned on John Middleton, and after yesterday, they've completely turned on John Middleton. And I want to know from you, do you want a guy who listens to you or listens to the people he put in charge? 610-632-0975. Help me understand. Because there was, and we'll break down a lot of what happened yesterday. And there are some things in there that I felt were not completely off base the way a lot of people are interpreting them, including one of Matt Klintak's comments about the market. So I want to hear from you. We're going to kick off the show tonight talking a lot of Phillies, because and the Eagles have a big game tomorrow. No doubt I want to get into that conversation too as well. But I was there yesterday. I sat through the hour. It was painful. I'll be honest with you. It was long. I wanted it to end. I couldn't get another question in because you had to raise your hand and the microphone had to come around to you. I got the first one. I couldn't get a third or a second. I was on the wrong side of the room. I also got 5 pair of Zombieland tickets to give out. Thank you for the reminder, Dylan. So we'll give those out too as the show goes on. I'll tell you how we can, what we'll do to give those out. All right, Tony in South Philly's been patient. He's been hanging on. He wants to talk Phillies. He's going to lead it off for me tonight. Tony, you're on 975, The Fanatic. What's up, Tone?
Rob, how are you?
Fantastic, buddy.
This is my first call into sports radio, so forgive me if I'm a little bit nervous.
Don't be nervous, and I want to tell you right off the bat, I appreciate you hanging in there because I saw you when I came on, but I didn't want to jump right to you without. Right? Yeah. So I appreciate it. You already won me over.
And I appreciate what you said at the beginning because I actually have an opposite opinion. I think by virtue of the fact that Middleton got rid of Kapler and kept McPhail and Klentak, that he's listening to the front office and not the fans. I think that Gabe is a average manager. He's got the ability to be, you know, a Doug Peterson type of guy, just in the sense that, you know, he's a player's coach.
I agree with that because the players really did like him. They did respect him, contrary to what you hear a lot of people say on behind the microphone who are never there and are never in a clubhouse and have never asked anyone who knows and tell you, oh, people don't respect him. No, those players did respect him. Those players did like playing for him. So you're right. He is and was a player's manager, and he might very well end up getting that job in San Francisco.
And when I think about a guy, particularly Andy McPhail, and I'll talk about Klentak later. I mean, McPhail is a pedigree baseball guy in the sense that, you know, his grandfather and father are Hall of Famers. You know, he's in baseball, you know, on their coattails. It's not because of his own achievements. Whereas Gabe, he wasn't the most physically gifted guy in the game, but he, you know, fought and tore over several years, you know, to make his career in the major leagues and now got, you know, for a time, got the Phillies managerial position. With Klentak, where is the drafting? It's an obvious thing. It's not a subjective position to say that he just didn't do the job. So if it were Middleton, I would have rather kept Gabe and gotten rid of the other two.
Yeah, and the reason, Tony, why he didn't do that is because whoever he would bring in as the new GM and the new team, the president's going to want his own GM. The GM's going to want his own manager. So he couldn't keep Gabe and get rid of those. It would have had to be all three. And I firmly believe the reason he kept Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail around is because he gave them those contract extensions, and it would be bad business on his part to have to pay 3 years and 2 years and then 1 year for Gabe. It was just bad business. So he to me, he's listening to the fans when it comes to Kapler, when it comes to Bryce Harper, when it comes to firing the hitting coach, and he's not listening to the front office in those big-time decisions. And I appreciate the call. And you did a great job, Tony. Don't be too shy. Call back anytime. Thank you and have a great night. I feel like John Middleton wants to do what the fans want him to, what the fans want to see him do. He is almost, you talk about a player's manager, he's a fan base's owner. He wants to be popular. He wants to win. But at the same time, he's not going to win at the expense of making bad business decisions. So when you sign Bryce Harper, he knew the fan base was going to go wild and they were going to buy tickets. And that ends up being a good business decision. It remains to be seen whether that's a good baseball decision, good business decision, but a good baseball decision would result in getting in the postseason. And if it's what it doesn't all come down to one guy. I know that, no doubt. It's not all on Bryce. No doubt. The team didn't have enough pitching. But he made a business decision bringing Bryce Harper to Philly. He made a business decision removing Gabe Kapler because he knew the outrage would result in fewer tickets sold. Now, of course, if they started out winning next year and they were running, and here's the thing, they did win for 2 months this year. And 2 years ago in Gabe's first year, they were leading into August the NL East. And even then, fans had a hard time believing in Gabe Kapler. and in the team, and they weren't selling tickets. So this comes down to you have an owner who is absolutely the man in charge, who has no issue whatsoever telling you he is calling the shots. And I sense a lot of anger, animosity, and outrage after yesterday's news conference. And while I agree with you, it was awkward. It was not smooth. It did not leave me feeling that this is an organization that is on the right track to success. At least in the owner, you have somebody who's willing to make moves that you want. So what do you want to see out of John Middleton? 610-632-0975. And then when it comes to Gabe Kapler not being accepted here in Philly, and this was a comment that Matt Klintak made, and he had a tough time wanting to say that. He's not off base. We all know that. Gabe wasn't accepted here. And I don't know if that, to me, that's not a Gabe Kapler issue. Gabe Kapler not being accepted here wasn't a Gabe Kapler issue. Gabe is who he is. People didn't accept him for a variety of reasons. Some of those were nonsensical. Some people flat out didn't like Gabe Kapler because he's a good-looking dude, physically fit, tan, coconut oil, all that stuff. People just didn't like him. He's California cool. He's not Philly tough. He's a different kind of guy. People didn't like him because he's a positive thinker. Because, go ahead, I want to hear that.
We're fine. Love it.
Love it. What else?
He's very proud of those guys.
He's very proud. He's a positive guy, right, Dylan? He's a positive guy. People didn't like him. And then, of course, people will point to baseball decisions. Oh, and actually, talking about removing Aaron Nola from a game in the season opener, people held that against him. He was not accepted in Philadelphia. And he was learning on the job. And he was getting experience on the job training. It doesn't mean Gabe Kapler might go on to San Fran or somewhere else and win a World Series. He very well could do that. Again, I know I'm in the minority. I had no problem with Gabe Kapler's positivity. I admired it. I appreciated it. And it challenged me to be better myself, to find ways to not talk down about anyone or rip people publicly like he did. It's challenging. It's challenging. I give him a ton of credit for it. People didn't like that. Matt Klintak referred to it when Gabe said, "I'm not Dallas bleeping Green." And there is still that old school mentality. So when it comes to analytics, John Middleton made it clear, hey, this wasn't Andy McPhail, Matt Klintak, or Gabe Kapler driving the bus. This is my call. I want to see analytics be a big part of this organization. And he referred to he referenced all the teams that are successful and analytically driven baseball teams. Yet, I believe the fan base and some media, would put all of the analytics on Gabe Kapler. And when things backfired or things looked different or lineups were tweaked and bullpen situations were managed one way and there was shifts and all kinds of stuff, Gabe was merely implementing what information he was getting from the analytics department, which is what the owner once in place. And as John Middleton said yesterday, it's not going away. It's not going away. So whoever comes in here is going to have to be an analytically minded baseball manager. That's the way of baseball. 610-632-0975. I want to know, what is your biggest problem with the news conference yesterday? What's your biggest issue? What did you come away feeling that has so many people outraged and troubled? And when it comes to the CEO, the owner, the managing partner, John Middleton, do you want a guy who listens to you, the fans? Because I think that's bad for baseball. It's good for business, but it's bad for baseball, for wins and losses. But do you want a guy who listens to you or a guy who listens to his front office? 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 975 to Fanatic. Rob Motti. Taking you till 10 p.m. here. Dylan McKinnon producing the show, taking your calls at 610-632-0975. So I already put it out there. I want to know what your thoughts are on the owner of the Philadelphia Phillies, the CEO, the managing partner, being a guy who has no issue telling you the buck stops with him. He makes the call. When it comes to an important decision, he makes the call. And I see a guy who listens to his fan base more so than the front office. And that's obvious in the Bryce Harper decision, in the John Mailey, Charlie Manuel hitting coach change, and now in the Gabe Kapler decision. Phillies weren't shy about telling you. Andy McPhail wasn't shy about telling you. Matt Klintak wasn't shy about telling you. He's a big fan of Gabe Kapler. They wanted to convince him. He wouldn't be convinced. I asked him right off the bat, how much did the fans play into it? And he said, you have to listen to the fans. But he wasn't going to say wholeheartedly, 100%. I absolutely believe that John Middleton wants to win, but at the same time, he understands what's good for business is listening to his fan base. And if his front office has a baseball decision that may not be popular or isn't going to sell tickets, he's going to overrule them because selling tickets is better for business. So on his priority list, clearly, and I'm sure it is for most owners, sell tickets, make money, win a championship next. 610-632-0975. So what do you want to see, an owner who listens to you, the fan base, or listens to the people he put in charge to make the decisions? Sean on the cell, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Rob, I want to give you a lot of credit and probably two or three other members of the media who asked, frankly, the questions that needed to be asked yesterday. You guys did an outstanding job. I still think I'm still not clear on some of the things that Middleton said. I kind of feel like he was doing a lot of rambling, and you know, I don't know if that was a way to kind of deflect you know, the questions that were being asked, but
I believe it was a way to shorten the amount of questions.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but you guys did an excellent job.
Thank you.
You know, I got to tell you, What's the point in having a general manager if you don't have any faith and trust in that general manager? Now, coming from where I'm coming from, I absolutely thought a change was needed with the manager, but it's almost like the owner's ruling with an iron fist, and if it's a decision that needs to be made that is a big decision that he doesn't agree with, it's clear that he is going to overrule somebody. But if you don't have faith in your GM, then why keep him? Why not make the change with the GM? And I'm wondering if that has to do with the fact that, well, he just extended those guys, and he would have looked extremely foolish if he made a switch so soon.
Yeah, that was the question I wanted to get in and didn't get an opportunity to, is how much of a factor in your decision to keep Matt Klimczak and Andy MacPhail was the contract extensions. And I know he danced around it, but that's a question that needs to be asked. And I believe, Sean, if they didn't have the longer-term deals, he probably would have completely removed everyone and started this whole thing over. But it's bad for business to be eating that many contracts.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Now, it sounds like Klimczak's picking the next manager, and that kind of scares me, to be honest with you. I have a feeling it's going to be Buck Showalter, just because there are ties to not only the GM, but also the president with Showalter. And yeah, I think that would be bad, because it's kind of like, these guys are kind of in cahoots. I'd like to see somebody who would challenge the general manager a little bit. And with Klimczak, I just don't know. I have a feeling that he is making decisions, and yes, the owner will override him, but is he making good decisions for the organization? In other words, what I'm trying to say here is, this is probably the last manager he's going to get a chance to hire.
Oh, firmly believe that. I agree.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is his last chance. But, I mean, moving forward, to me, it's like it doesn't really make too much of a big difference that you fired the manager, because really the guy who's, the general manager, I'm talking about Klimczak from the press box, he's the guy that's kind of running the team on the field. So unless you get the general manager out there, can we really be confident that much is going to change?
I agree with you that I think this is going to be the last manager he hires, and I don't know how much can change. Sean, thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. I don't know how much can change. What could change is this: you bring in a new manager, and you make some moves to really upgrade this roster. There's some guys out there in free agency that would absolutely help this team. We've seen it. We know the names. There's some guys out there that can help this baseball team. Gerrit Cole would be a guy who would instantly upgrade the starting rotation. Will Smith in the bullpen. There's a lot of guys that, and John Middleton, of course, can't say it yesterday because guys aren't free agents yet, but there are guys that they can go out. So what could happen is, yeah, you get a new manager, but you upgrade the talent surrounding him. And then this team ends up in the postseason, and things look better. Now, when you look at some of the blame, I thought it was very interesting that John Middleton really wanted to put some, when the roster configuration, the blame has generally fallen on Klimczak and MacPhail. But no. John Middleton wanted to make it clear yesterday that some of those decisions are on the coaching staff and the manager. And as he said, they need to... He called it a misconception. He said the other thing where there's probably a misconception is the roster construction. That the manager and coaching staff play a role in it. And he mentioned all the other guys and how they fill out this big ballot, this form, 25, 30 of them sit around round table and talk about every single player. And he said, if the coaches say this guy's good and we need him or we could use him, he goes on a roster. And if they say we can't, he's not as good, he doesn't go on a roster. So he really wanted to put some blame on the manager and the coaching staff. Now, half that coaching staff, he's bringing back. So is he going to, is the blame solely on Gabe, the hitting coach and pitching coach, for the guys on the roster? I thought that was definitely interesting. Now, there was a lot of stuff that was handled oddly and awkwardly. Andy McPhail talking about war and the Phillies adding 17.8 wins above replacement. That was the best in baseball, and saying the issues were carryover from 18 to 19. Yet they were, well, yeah, you could say they could have done more. Of course they could have done more. So I don't know. There was a lot in that news conference, and a lot of it was trying to deflect blame and also at the same time try and convince everyone that we're still in good shape. We're okay. We have this figured out. My man Lance in Arizona, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hey, I wanted to make an Eagles point after this. I really want to get that. Sure. But with the Phillies, I look at it this way. Their farm system is so bad for 5 years. I wish somebody at that press conference would ask them, how are you guys planning on improving the farm system and scouting? Because the scouting department hasn't been very good. And if you're going to catch Atlanta and you're going to catch the Nationals, and the Nationals look real good right now, you have to get better in that department. And they're not. You can add a Gerrit Cole, but I frankly think he's going to the Yankees. I think they're going to give him a blank check, and that's where he's going.
No, yeah, well, they could certainly, and they need him. Lance, when you look at this organization's minor league, with Johnny Almaraz, when he took over October 2014, which is before Matt Klintak and before Andy McPhail, he was hired during Ruben Amaro Jr.'s time, and now he's gone, so they got to replace their scouting director. Some bad moves. Cornelius Randolph, 2015, wasn't a good pick. Mickey Moniak, 16, still not here yet. Elise Haseley in 17, we've seen. Alec Bohm in 18, we think is on the rise, and could be here, if not next year, the year after. And then this year's the young kid, Bryson Stott, looks like he could be something, but we don't know. Yeah, the big issue with this team has been the drafting, and that's why they're in a position where they are. When you look around the league, like you said, Lance, look at the Nationals. Juan Soto's 20 years old. Look at the Braves. Ronald Acuna Jr. is 20 years old. These guys come up at 20, and they're mashing. And the Phillies guys, they can't get them up until they're 22, 23.
Not only that, we don't draft starting pitching that's good enough. We draft these guys that don't have the arms that you need to go after. Besides Spencer Howard, there's really not much there. And you're trying to build to compete with these teams. You're seeing it in the playoffs. If you have three really good pitchers, the Astros, I think they beat the Yankees, and I think the Yankees' offense is good enough. I think what's going to hold the Yankees back, they don't have enough good starting pitching to keep the Astros from putting points or the runs on the board.
I agree. And Houston's pitching against Washington's pitching is going to be such a fun series to watch.
Oh, it's going to be an awesome series to watch that. Those are three great pitchers going against each other. It's going to come down to the bullpen. This is what it's going to come down to. And I think the Astros' bullpen is better than the Nationals. But I want to make my Eagles point.
Sure.
It's really, really fast. So with the Eagles, I look at it this way. Unless you're going to get Jalen Ramsey or you're going to get Chris Harris at a really discounted price, like a fourth-round pick, I think the best thing for them to do is to look at the DeSean Jackson situation and say, we don't know exactly what's going on, how he's going to be, how he's going to come back. I need to maximize Carson Wentz in this offense, because we knew going into this season the defense wasn't going to carry the team. It was going to be the offense, and we just needed the defense to make enough plays to get the ball to the offense so they could put up points on the board. If you get one or two turnovers a game and you're scoring 30 points, they're going to win. So how are you going to do that when your offense is right now is compressed, where safety's dropped in the box because you don't have a deep threat, and you're not, the middle of the field is all congested because you don't have that deep threat? You have to go out and get a wide receiver. I know you're spending a ton of money already, but if you can get a guy, Robbie Anderson, somebody with speed that they're willing to go out and get, I think that has to be the move, because anybody at corner, the four corners you have coming back from injury are enough to upgrade your defense.
Exactly. Yeah, and I agree with you, because I think what Jalen Mills told me, he could be back next week, if not the week after. LeBlanc will be eligible two more after week eight. Ronald Darby will be coming back. Avanti Maddox will be coming back. They could sell it, and they could very well count on those guys coming back and being okay. They need a DeSean Jackson speed type guy. And Deshaun's unique, but if they can't, if you can't count on him, you need somebody there. I absolutely agree with you.
And not only that, when you get Maddox and LeBlanc back, you could have LeBlanc playing in the slot, move Maddox to your third safety position, get Sendejo off the field, and now you've improved two positions
Just
having guys come back. So to me, the biggest need, unless you can get a defensive tackle at somewhere, which I don't think Brandon Graham inside, it doesn't really help you all that much because you can get Jernigan to play on rundowns and then move Brandon Graham into the middle on passing downs. So you really need, you don't need it as much as you could use that speed wide receiver.
Agreed. Lance, good call as always. Talk to you later, man. Thank you. Have a great one. 610-632-0975. John, hang on. I'll get to you next. Rob Body on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.748 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you until 10. Dylan McKinnon here taking your call, 610-632-0975. By the way, you want to run in a gritty 5K? The gritty 5K. You want to run in that? The race is tomorrow at 8 a.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. The website for registration and information on the Gritty 5K is www.philadelphiaflyers.com/gritty5K. Your complimentary coupon code is the Fanatic 2019. The Gritty 5K is driven by AAA and benefits Flyers Charities. 97.5 The Fanatic will be on site. How about that? 97.5 The Fanatic will be on site. So go to www.philadelphiaflyers.com/gritty5K now to reserve your spot. Sounds like an awesome event. 8 a.m. tomorrow. Let's get to John in Center City on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hi, how are you? Nice show. I wanted to touch base on the Phillies.
Yes, sir.
You know, again, the last caller that called was a good call. He was mentioning about, you know, the farm system and how it sucks right now. Is that the same folks that got Hamels, Utley, and Howard? Or is that different people?
No, different. Johnny Almarez was the scouting director hired in 2014. Those Cole Hamels and Howard and Utley, they go back to Mike Arbuckle in those days. Back when Ed Wade was in charge, all the criticism Ed Wade received, and he presided over that when they drafted Cole and Ryan Howard and Chase Elliott. And I don't know if you remember this too. Remember when the Phillies were in contention back in the 2003, 2004, 2005 that area, and fans wanted to trade Ryan Howard and or Chase Utley to get some relief pitching help, and Ed Wade said no, I'm hanging on to him. Maybe some of the guys that the Phillies held on to at this trade deadline rather than trade prospects, maybe they end up being, I don't know if you'll end up being a Chase Utley or Ryan Howard, but contributors on a postseason championship type team.
Yeah, well, Bloom looks, you know, they have high hopes for him.
Yeah, Alec Bohm, for sure.
Right, and, let me get him on the run here. All right.
Mickey Moniak's another one. Yeah, Spencer Howard.
Moniak,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
he hasn't really done much. But
he came on a little bit this year. There's still some hope for Mickey Moniak. So they're not writing him off, but he's absolutely been slower than most people were hoping for.
Yeah, but I think that the root of the problem, number one, is the scouting. Number two, they should hire with all the science and the medical breakthroughs we've had. They have to hire a guy who specializes in the arm and shoulder and have these guys like exercise, do exercises to keep their to keep their shoulders in shape. I think these guys are out of shape. Too many injuries in the bullpen.
Well, I'm sure they have all kinds of science and everything else, John. Here's what they don't do. Guys don't throw as much as they used to. And
exactly.
And back when they used to throw crazy amount of innings, they stayed healthier than they do now when they're on pitch counts and they're on all kinds right. of rest and all that stuff. It's the way of baseball now, and I don't know how you can get away from that.
Well, they're making millions of dollars for coming in and pitching one or two innings, and they should be in tip-top shape. Their arms should be in shape and stretched out. And because it just seems like these guys are paying them a lot of money, and Tommy Hunter,
those three guys really hurt them. Tommy Hunter, Pat Neshek, David Robertson, all guys in their 30s who didn't pay. And I appreciate the call, John. Thank you. Great stuff. All guys they were counting on heavily, and they could not get quality innings out of them. And they spent a lot of money on all three, almost $30 million on those three. Candy in Coatesville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Candy?
I was watching the Mike Nicinoli show, and Charles Barkley was on.
That's on now?
It is on now.
How about that?
It's a rerun.
Oh, wow. Meanwhile, behind the cameras over here, and I can peek around the TV, I got wrestling on. I'm trying to change it, and I got to remember next commercial to change it.
I'm telling you. Anyway, so this number was on for Sports Philadelphia at the Mike Nicinoli show, and I dialed it because I wanted to talk to Charles Barkley. But I am sorry if I do not have that.
I apologize, Candy. Charles is not here. But he will be here again, I'm sure, next year at some point.
I hope so. So if you're talking about the Phillies,
yes,
it's a sin and a shame.
The ownership's got to get rid of Middleton.
Who's that? Your husband in the back?
Yeah.
he don't like the owner.
He's an idiot.
And they just railroaded them, and that's the end of it. You know. It really is a shame.
Yeah, it was an interesting 1 hour news conference. He made it clear that he's the boss. He makes the big decisions, and he doesn't have clearly enough faith in the guys that he's hired to make those decisions. So he'd rather listen to you, the fans, is what it comes down to. Candy, the fans wanted Kapler gone. He listened to them. They wanted Bryce Harper. He listened to them.
Listen. He is not listening to this band. Not completely. He didn't change it.
That's why. You want the president and a GM gone. I hear you.
They're dumber than dirt.
Your husband's hilarious back there. I appreciate the call, Candy. Have a great rest of your night. That was like a 2-in-1 conversation. You get Candy on the phone, and you get her husband yelling in the background, and we both get to have it was like a three-way conversation. 610-632-0975. Do you want an owner who listens more to you than he does his own front office? Because that's what you have. You have an owner who listens more to you. Now you could say, oh, he's still not listening to us because he kept the president and he kept the GM. Well, that's also bad business because he's paying him for a few more years. John Middleton wants to do what's good for business, and that's why he removed the manager. That's why he went out there and made sure they spent the money to bring in Bryce Harper. Meanwhile, the Washington Nationals are two games away from going to the World Series without Bryce Harper. 610-632-0975. Got some open lines. I'm Rob Motti on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.